I would like to share with you my dad's film, Heart of a Shepherd, which tells a heartwarming journey of his life and God's call. You can receive your copy by calling CWH or visiting our website. Here's today's message, The Uplifting Christ, based on powerful words from Scripture.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Just love coming in every weekend and worshiping the Lord together all over the world. And someday, those of us who have accepted Jesus, we're going to be in heaven, and we're going to see each other and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But our sermon today is going to be about the uplifting Christ. It's a wonderful, wonderful text, and I know you'll be blessed if you just stay with us. But first of all, I want to thank you for your letters and your gifts and your help. And so I want to share some of the letters. The first one comes from Lamars, Iowa. And this person writes, I'm writing on behalf of my father. Thank you for the joy you have brought into my dad's and many other people's lives. God bless you. And I tell you how we bring joy into your heart. We do it because we preach the Bible. Nehemiah said a long time ago, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so as long as we have Jesus, worshiping Jesus and his word, there's going to be joy, a deep, wonderful joy that the world can't give and the world can't take it away from us. Here's Fargo, North Dakota. My father-in-law did not go to church, but he loved to listen to the Christian Worship Hour. Thank you for your ministry. We hope that we will meet him in heaven. Well, I tell you, there's a good chance because if he listened to the Christian Worship Hour, he sure knows the way to heaven. And that is to just ask Jesus in your own words. Just ask him to come into your heart and take away your sins. Tell him you're sorry for your sins. Tell him you'll turn from them the best you can. And then just ask him into your heart and then just praise him, thank him, and get going for Jesus. And so if he did that, you'll see him in heaven. Let's see, Pueblo West in Colorado. We have enjoyed your DVD, Heart of a Shepherd, so much. We'd like to send one to each of our five children. Now, she's talking about a film that we made. It's about an hour long, I think 52 minutes. And it's a story of my life of how I came to know Jesus. And it tells the way of salvation so even a child can understand it. And we send it out on a free will offering basis. And at the close of the service, I'll give the address. So she says, we enjoyed your DVD, Heart of a Shepherd. We'd like to send one to each of our five children. We recently lost our precious daughter. She would have also enjoyed it, but she is rejoicing with Jesus now. Hallelujah. Thank you. And that isn't that nice here. They have a family, and part of that family's in heaven and part of the family's on earth. And you know, that's the body of Christ. Part of the family's on earth and part of the family's in heaven. Paul wrote about that. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. Isn't that beautiful? And so someday we'll all be together rejoicing with the Lord Jesus. And then let's see, here's Winterset, Iowa. And this lady writes and says, my husband passed away from cancer last August. After 60 years of marriage, the adjustment has been hard, but I take comfort in knowing that he has taken the road less traveled to a place where I can join him someday. I was told at his funeral that his breath on earth was immediately followed by his next breath in heaven. Recently, my peace was shattered when I was informed that it wasn't true, that death was just a body in a grave until a later event. I wished I knew what the Bible said, and I prayed for peace. Then yesterday, being snowed in and unable to go to church, I turned to the computer to the Christian Worship Hour. I truly believe that God led me to click on all sermons where I pulled up the sermon you gave regarding Luke 16, 19 to 31, which answers all of my questions and restored my peace. Thank you, Pastor. God bless you and your entire staff. And I'll tell you what she found. She found that the Bible teaches that the minute you take your last breath on earth, If you're a Christian, if you've accepted Jesus, the last breath here and the next breath you take is in heaven. Heaven isn't 10 million miles away. It's one breath away. And you remember when Jesus was crucified, the thief on the cross looked to Jesus and he said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And what did Jesus say? He said, you know, he would remember him. He says, "Today thou art with me in paradise." Today, that same day, that morning he was on a cross, that night he was walking the golden streets. And so Paul tells us, absent from the body, at home with the Lord. So don't let them tell you your soul is in the grave. We have some of these sleeping in the grave or just in the grave and not won't come till Jesus comes again. Well, your body will be in that grave. That's right. But your spirit and soul is departed and it's with the Lord. And that's what I know. The Bible teaches as plain as day. And then the devil comes along, tries to mess it up. Well, our letters, I'll give the address and everything later on at the end of the service. Hope you'll write. Like to hear from you. But this verse, oh, here's one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible. It's John chapter 12, verses 32 and 33. Jesus said this, and he said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he would die. Jesus is telling us here he's going to die on a cross to pay for our sins, and he's going to draw all the people of the world to him. Now, if we respond to that call or that drawing, we have eternal life. If we reject that calling, we have eternal hell. That's all there is to it, and you make the decision for your own soul. And so the question follows, well, who in the world, who is this Jesus Christ to make such a statement as that, that he can put us in heaven if by just believing in him, he can wash away our sins? Who is this Jesus Christ? Well, let me tell you, I can tell you who he is on authority of the Holy Bible. I can tell you this, he is the Son of God. And he's not only the Son of God, he is God Almighty, second person of the Holy Trinity. The Bible tells us in John 1, verses 1 to 5, plain as day. John chapter 1, first five verses. In the beginning was the Word, that the Word is Jesus. Logos, Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. The Living Bible paraphrases this to read like this. Before anything else existed, there was Christ with God. He has always been alive and is himself God. He created everything there is. Nothing exists that he didn't make. Eternal life is in him, and this life gives light to all mankind. His life is the light that shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it or put it out. Jesus Christ is God, and there is no question about it. But while Jesus Christ was God, he was also man. He was God-man. He is unique. There never was a time when one like Jesus lived, but there never will never be another one. There's only one Jesus Christ. And I might add this, Jesus Christ is not some figment of our imagination. He's not some mythical character out of the past. He's not a fairy tale. He is an historical person. Just as sure as the sun comes up in the east, he's an historical person. Don't forget. And Wilbur M. Smith was a great Bible scholar and a theologian, and this is what he writes about Jesus. Wilbur M. Smith says one thing is for sure, and that is that Jesus of Nazareth belongs to the realm of history. We know when he lived between 5 and 6 BC and 330 and 32 AD, though that was the span of his life. He lived in that period. We know where he was born, in Bethlehem, a real town, not some mythological cloud. We know where he spent most of the years of his life, in Nazareth, far north in Galilee, where he worked as a carpenter. We know many of the characters of this day from literature apart from the New Testament, for the names of Herod the Great, his son Herod Agrippa, Pontius Pilate, Tiberius Caesar, Felix, Festus, and so forth, are found in many of the secular writings in the first century, and it's also found in the New Testament, along with Jesus Christ, with these other characters and people of that day. Every history of the ancient world embracing the first century of our era is compelled to say something about Christ Jesus. Every encyclopedia published in the Western world must record the fact that Jesus Christ lived. Though H.G. Wells had an utter contempt for Christ, in fact, he hated Jesus Christ, but for all of their articles of the Christian faith he hated, he is nevertheless compelled to give scores of lines in his book, Jesus of Nazareth, Outlines of History. And just think of this. Every date we use, designated by the letters A.D. and B.C., testify to the fact that Jesus Christ once appeared on earth and separated time between B.C. and A.D. You cannot today name any event of the ancient Babylonia or Greece or Rome and try to tell men what happened without bearing testimony to the fact that Jesus Christ lived. Every newspaper, every court document, every letter, every monument that carries a date, say, of 2019, all add to their testimony to the reality of an historic Christ because he divided time in half. My dear friend, there can be no doubt that Jesus Christ was both God and man, and he's at the right hand of the throne of God, and someday he's going to come back. And he's going to rule over this world. Furthermore, Jesus Christ was the most remarkable person who ever lived. None can compare to him. An anonymous author made this striking comparison. Socrates taught for 40 years. Plato for 50 years. Aristotle for 40 years. Jesus taught for only 3 years. Yet the influence of Christ's 3-year ministry infinitely transcends the impact left by the combined 130 teachings, years of teaching from the men who were among the greatest philosophers of all antiquity. Jesus painted no pictures, yet some of the finest paintings of Raphael, Michelangelo, and Leonardo da Vinci received their inspiration from Jesus Christ, and they painted about him. The Jesus Christ never wrote no poetry, yet Dante, Milton, and scores of the world's greatest poets, they were inspired by Jesus Christ in their writings. Jesus composed no music, yet still Haydn and Handel and Beethoven, Bach and Mendelssohn, reached their highest perfection of melody in the hymns, symphonies and oratorios that were compelled praising Jesus. Jesus Christ, that holy person. Every sphere of human greatness has been enriched by this humble carpenter of Nazareth. His unique contribution to the race of men is the salvation of the soul. The salvation of the soul is the salvation of the soul going to heaven. Or is it going to hell? If it's going to heaven, it's because of Jesus Christ. It says that philosophy could not accomplish that, nor art, nor literature, nor music. Only Jesus Christ can break the enslaving chains of sin and Satan. He alone can speak peace to the human heart, strengthening the weak and giving peace to those who spiritually are dead. Jesus Christ, God. Don't forget it. The wonderful Christ then becomes the light of the world and the hope of the world. As a matter of fact, we should say the only hope of the world. It is God's will that all people come to Jesus, the hope of the world. God explicitly stated that it is his desire that all people come to him and be saved. And so Peter writes about this in the second epistle, and he says that Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He wants the whole world to come. He died on the cross, the Son of God. God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the wonderful Jesus. And he came to do it, and he came to save the whole world, and he came to do it through the cross. Dying on the cross, the old rugged cross, the cross of Calvary. Jesus tells us that in John 12, 32, and I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me. And this he said, signifying what death he would die. He would die on the cross and shed his blood, because without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. And the only way for Jesus Christ to pay for my sins and the sins of the world were for him to pay for it with his own blood. And he died on that cross, and he was buried for 3 days and three nights, and the third day was raised from the grave, and he was seen of over 500 people on one occasion, and he lives today. He's at the right hand of God, and he's going to come back, and he's going to rule in the governments of this world, become the governments of our Lord and Jesus Christ, and he's going to rule the whole world as he sits on a literal throne in Jerusalem. We're going to be preaching about that the next week or two. I can't just remember where. That wonderful Savior. And so this Jesus, look at this. Let's look at it again. I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. I will draw, Jesus Christ said. That's just the difference of the world. If the world wants to do something, they get behind you and they force you. But when Jesus wants us, he draws us. I'll draw you. That's love. Not brute force, but humble love. And if we come, he will, and call on his name, we'll be saved. And we don't have to come. We can stay in our stubborn place where we are. We can reject Jesus and Christ and tell him, I've got a different God. I've got a different founder. I've got a different way. I'll take my other way. And then the Old Testament tells us, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is eternal death. Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, I am the way. No man cometh to the Father, nobody gets to heaven but by me. It's through Jesus, beautiful Jesus. And so Jesus goes to the cross, and he dies for our sins and pays for our sins. And so we're told in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, he says, one died for all, therefore all died. And that is when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for all of us. But unless you receive him, he says, I stand at the door and knock. And that's him drawing you. Where he just, something will say, oh, I need Jesus. Maybe right now you're saying, oh, I want that Jesus. I've never heard of anybody so wonderful and miraculous. And the reason is because you haven't heard about Jesus. He's the only one. And so then he says, you just come to me and I'll save you. John 4, verse 42, he's spoken of as the Savior of the world. This belongs to Jesus Christ and nobody else. He's the Savior of the world. That means anybody in the world can come to him and find salvation. He will never turn you away. He wants you to come. He's asking you to come. Some of you right now, you're really feeling that. I want Jesus. And you need to come to him and say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you, come into my heart and take my sins away. I'll turn from them and follow you and thank you, Jesus. And I prayed that, you say, I prayed that when I was 10 years old. That's 88 years ago. I remember the same as if it was last night. And an evangelist told me, you just tell Jesus you're a sinner. And you have to turn from your sins the best you can. You'll never be perfect, but you'll turn from the best you can and then thank Jesus. That's what he did. And I can remember it was last night. And I didn't see any bells, and I didn't see any lights, and I didn't see all of these things, but I knew Jesus was in my heart. I just felt I was light. I just felt there. all gone away. You can have that. You should have that. And so he's called the Savior of all men. And when John the Baptist saw him, he pointed his finger at Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." In 1 John 2, chapter 2 and verse 2, he is the propitiation for the whole sins of the whole world. That means he is paid. He's the price paid for the sins of the whole world. And so you need to come and trust him. And so this wonderful Jesus tells us, John 3:17, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He wants all people to come to him. He draws to himself multitudes in salvation. Those who resist his gracious drawing now will not be able to resist his drawing in that great day of judgment of the great white throne, where there's but one verdict: depart from me and go into the lake of fire with the devil and his angels. That's not that great white throne. But if you accept Jesus, those sins will be washed away and you'll never face the great white throne, because you have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you have this wonderful Jesus to help you and lead you through and take you along. So he has that great power, and he comes to you to this people. Think about the people that after Jesus was raised from the dead, and he was the resurrected Christ, the living Christ, there was a wonderful drawing. He drew the thief on the cross to him so that he was with him that same day in paradise. He drew 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. He drew 5,000 on the next day. He drew him Stephen and Philip and the Jews and the Samaritans and the Gentiles and the jailers and the worst crooks and some of the people morally so good. He says he drew those people. I will draw all the people, all men, that is all the world, unto me, not unto a church. I love the church, but the church can't save you. I put 62 years in the church as a pastor in the church. The church can't save you. The church can just point the way. The church is the custodian of the Word of God to share it with the world. The church can't save you. The creed can't save you. The ritual can't save you. Not some vain philosophy of life can save you. But Jesus, a person, can save you. You remember when Jesus, after the resurrection, and then he spent 40 days among his people, and then he's going to ascend into heaven, and he's going to be at the right hand of the throne of God till he comes again. And he tells his disciples that, and they're very upset, because what are they going to do without Jesus? And Jesus said, let not, this is John 14, verses 1 to 6, he says, let not your heart be troubled, don't worry about it. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare this place, that's heaven. If I go and prepare a place, I'll come again. I'll receive you into myself. Sometimes he comes again to right now when some Christian dies. Jesus comes again for them and takes them to heaven. Someday he's going to come and the whole world's going to see him. And if I come again, I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, Lord, I want to go to heaven. I want to be with you in heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven, but I don't know the way. And Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. There's only one way to God. It's through a person, Jesus. And right now, will you pray it? Dear Jesus, just pray it with me. I'm sorry for my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart and take my sins away. And dear Jesus, I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you did that, you're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. You're a part of the body of Christ. And you have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you will never lose your salvation. And you're saying, I'm so wicked, would he take me? Paul says he was the chief of sinners. I'm the chief of sinners, and he took me. You come to Jesus. And then you write to us and get to us, or get your Bible and get John, Gospel of John, and find Christian people to associate and write to us, Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour, Post Office Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I hope you can write to us, and we can write to you, and we can encourage you in your faith. And if you'd like to have our little paper, you have a little paper, Bible study paper, and this is about I Know My Redeemer Lives, you just say, I want the Bible study. If you want to get that film we talked about, you just say you want that film. And then send a gift if you possibly can. I know some of you don't have a thing, but we had to pay our way. You send it to the Christian Worship Hour, all you shortwave people. Christian Worship Hour, Post Office Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, I thank you for all the multitudes that right of now open their heart to Jesus. And you're in their heart and you'll never leave them. And the Holy Spirit is in their heart and he'll give them strength and help. And Lord, we always think of the persecuted church, and we pray for our Christian brothers and sisters in Jordan today. Encourage them and strengthen them, dear Jesus. And then help us all, the young people and the children and all, and the shut-ins. Dear God, help them to know that you said you never leave them or forsake them, and they're always there. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. So now we need to hear from you, and I hope you can do it. You can help us also by getting the ChristianWorshipHour.com, and you can send a gift that way. And we'll be appreciated, and we'll use it entirely for the preaching of the gospel. And there's something else I have to tell you before I go. Jesus loves you. God loves you. He gave his son. He loves you so much, and he wants you to put your faith in him. And the Christian Worship Hour loves you. We have most of our people, almost all of our people, volunteers helping. And we're doing it because we love you. And I want you to know that I love you, the preacher. And I wish I could do a better job of it. But I can just do so much. But the Holy Spirit takes those words, those precious Bible words that I'm giving you, and he's talking to your heart. And you have that feeling he's drawing me. He drew me 88 and 98 years ago. He's drawing you now. Oh, we rejoice because we'll see you in heaven. And that will be, we'll see Jesus first of all. And I'm going to see you in loved ones. God bless you. God bless you till next week. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because it gave him the opportunity to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about having a personal relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, visit our website at cwh.org. You can stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view pastors' devotionals. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.